Welcome to the Austin Gardener with Cheryl McLaughlin on News Radio KLBJ. Call Cheryl now with your questions about gardening or landscaping at 512-836-0590, pound 590 on your wireless, or toll free 1-877-590-KLBJ.
Well, good morning. Isn't it pretty outside? My goodness, what a great little storm we had last night. Every drop of rain, I wish that 14 or 20 inches, whatever fell in Houston, would have fallen upstream of Lake Travis. We could sure use that. But nevertheless, everything is very lush outside right now. So, hey, I'm Cheryl McLaughlin. This is the Austin Gardener. If you want to join the show, call, comment, text 512-836-0590. And as you probably heard, we have a toll-free line, which is 877-590-5525. So again, 512-836-0590 is the call or text number. So I saw some of these texts that had come in earlier for Jeff, and I wanted to comment on a couple of them. One of them was... is it a good time to plant stuff right now after it rained and trees and shrubs and stuff? And he correctly answered, in my opinion, no. This is what happens when the soil is wet like this. You definitely want to stay off of it because it can cause compaction, right? So you're walking around on this wet ground and just compacting it. So it may be easier to pull weeds, but you need to give it a little time to dry out so that it's not just turning it into a mucky mess when you walk on it. So I totally agreed with that answer. And the other thing that I saw here was a photo somebody sent in and says, this dead spot in our lawn measuring about 4 feet in diameter has been there for 2 years. What is it and how do we get rid of it? I have never seen a better picture of brown patch ever. It's coming back in the center and is still bare around the edges. So this is a classic spring, and it can't even be fall, too. The fungal issue, right? So it doesn't kill the grass, but it kills the leaves of the grass. But the runners are still alive. But brown patch... they've done a lot of studies about this at A&M, and one of the things that they figured out is it usually occurs in a slightly low spot in the yard. Whether your eye can tell that it's a low spot or not, it typically is. So you can raise the soil level. That's one thing you can do. The other thing you don't want to do ever is apply high nitrogen synthetic fertilizer in the spring. Ever use it, really. That's why we always recommend the time release organic fertilizers, because again, A&M studied them and they were more effective and less polluting than the chemical. But if you put a chemical high nitrogen fertilizer on this patch of brown patch, it's just like exacerbating the issue. It makes it much worse. So you can aerate the area. You can put down cornmeal. You can just poke holes in it with a garden fork. You can then add compost and little by little raise that soil level as well to where it's not just a low spot. And let me tell you something. It's contagious. So if you have a lawn service and they went someplace else and mowed somebody's lawn that had brown patch, and then they came over to y'all's house, did their mowing, and did not spray the blades of their lawnmower with Lysol, you can get it that way. So you want to be sure that you are telling, you know, your lawn service, clean the blades of your lawnmowers. But it's typically an issue when the temperatures are between 55 and 85, which is in the spring. So anyway, I just wanted to address that because it is classic brown patch. Looks like a donut, right? Green in the middle and brown in a circle, I'm a perfect circle. So let's see. Here's another text. I planted mint in my flower beds and around my peach trees to deter rodents a few years ago. It has spread tremendously, and now I'm reading that mint shouldn't be used in yards as it is invasive and will take over my yard. Should I remove it? Well, yeah, I mean, if it's getting in places where you don't want it to be, yeah, you can remove the mint. Mint, when it's happy, does spread very vigorously. I love mint myself. I just think it's great. But, yeah, any plant that's invading areas you don't want it to be, you're certainly within all your rights to remove it. So I bet it smells good in your yard. Okay, 512-836-0590. Here's another text. Our wild butterfly garden is Greg's mist and salvia. The salvia grows healthy and lush, but never blooms. Any tips? Thank you. Well, again, if you're putting nitrogen fertilizer, even the time-release organic ones, you're going to get a lot of leaves and no blooms. If it's not getting enough sun, it won't bloom. If it is getting too much water, it'll just love to grow tons of leaves but not bloom. So you don't say whether the Greg's mist is blooming, but I assume that it is. Now, Jeff did answer this earlier and said deadhead the blooms, it will encourage a rebloom, multiple blooms per year. However, they had stated that it never blooms, so it doesn't really help to deadhead something that's not blooming, you know what I mean? So I would say cut back on the water. Of course, you know, you can't control the rain, but that's typically what happens. And if you're putting, if it's near your lawn and you're putting nitrogen fertilizer on your lawn, it could just be that that nitrogen is migrating to your butterfly garden. So consider those things. But probably the main thing would be not enough sun and or tons of water, because, you know, we've certainly had enough, and especially if it doesn't drain well, right? Okay, here's another text. Is it a good time to pull up some beginner volunteer blue salvia to make several potted plants? Yeah, you can do that. You don't want to pull it out of the ground, though, of course. You want to dig it, make sure you get a good clump of roots with your blue salvia. You know, if it's just has come up from like seed or something, then yeah, it will have its own little self-contained root system. But otherwise, just make clean cuts down with a little sharpshooter or trowel. I don't know how big it is, but that would be, yeah, it's a good time to do that. Okay, 512-836-0590. That is the call or text number, and the toll-free line is 877-590-5525. Did y'all see that article in the paper yesterday about the mosquito situation? I was like, oh, man, no, not really. Yeah, so they, because of all the moisture and the mild-ish winter we had, the mosquitoes have suddenly just come out in force. I haven't really had a problem with them yet at my house, but I was at dinner last night with some friends, and they live in Lakeway, and she said that she went out to water her plants yesterday at, or the day before at dusk, and just got inundated with mosquitoes. So, you know, going to be very aware of standing water in your yard after all this rain. But the best thing you can do is protect yourself. Do not go out there and spray a bunch of chemicals and kill everything in the yard. I wish they would outlaw those mosquito spraying companies. I think that they are doing so much damage to the environment. They are non-specific, broad-spectrum killers of everything. So, and also, don't fall for the old bug light That's bug zapper kills many more moths and butterflies than ever killed mosquitoes. Okay, time for that first break. Let's get that going on, and we'll be back right after this.
Welcome to the Austin Gardener with Cheryl McLaughlin on News Radio KLBJ, 590 AM and 99.7 FM.
Okay, we are back. Again, you're listening to the Austin Gardener. I'm Cheryl McLaughlin, and if you want to join the show, 512-836-0590. You can call or text that number, and the toll-free line is 877-590-5525. So let's see. Oh, we got a text here. It says a brown patch can also be a low level or small natural gas leak. I've seen it several times. Retired firefighter and hazmat specialist. Love your show. You know what? Absolutely right. I have seen that in my landscaping business, I think once or twice over the years, over the many, many years. But this particular photo, which, of course, you did not see, is a classic brown patch fungal ring. So, but thank you for that, and y'all should all be aware of that. That's certainly something. If you have a dead spot in your yard, you need to be sure and have that checked. Okay, let's see here. Here's a photo from a great distance of a house. And it says, good morning, Cheryl. These bushes have finally bit the dust. We will be cleaning up the front of the house and getting rid of these dead bushes. Any suggestions for perennial plants and or bushes? It faces west. Thank you for everything. Oh, where do I begin? Okay, this is a house where the front door, it's like a ranch-style home, two windows on the flat western wall, which below the windows, it's only a couple of feet tall. And then between them is a big blank space. So that's the place to put something really beautiful, colorful. I don't know where y'all are. So I don't know what kind of soil that you have. But I would put something like in between those windows, maybe like a real showy, yellow bells. I don't know what colors you like either. Yellow bells or a Pride of Barbados, something that can really take that heat. Or if you just want something evergreen, you could go with something like Texas sage in between the windows, a couple of them. And then under the windows, I would go with like Salvia greggii, evergreen, colorful. Maybe on those flat walls on either side of the windows, you could do like a Mexican bush sage, a spiky 4-foot-tall showstopper in the fall especially. So you want, that would be a combination. Oh, you know what else you could do is some roses. Now, I don't know if y'all have deer, but a big old rose bush in between those windows could be really pretty. I would do an antique rose, like Old Blush or something like that, that has fragrance. Well, you could do a Mr. Lincoln or a Don Juan. Ah, gorgeous. See, I mean, I could just keep going for a week here on what I would plant, but I hope that helps you. All right, 512-836-0590. Let's see. Here's another text. Hi, Cheryl. A few Sundays ago, I was driving back from League City listening to you on the app. You were talking about the Antique Rose Emporium and the Maggie Rose. So I took a side trip and went there and bought a Maggie Rose. So thank you, Shirley. Awesome. Yes, I was talking about Maggie. It is one of my favorites in the Antique Rose world. I used to sell them when I still had a nursery. And I just remember how beautiful they were and how fragrant they were. And the red roses were so pretty on Maggie. So good. I bet it was just spectacular over there when you went a few Sundays ago. If you go to the Antique Rose Emporium, as I've said before, it's one of the prettiest drives in Texas, I think, from here to Independence, which is just north of Brenham. talk about beautiful rolling hills full of wildflowers. And the Antique Rose Emporium itself, and they are not paying me to say this, is just, it's another one of those wonderful destination nurseries. So, anyway. Okay, let's see here. Hi. I'm about to spread a lot of diatomaceous earth over a lawn next to my house that has a huge bunch of chiggers. I live outside of Taylor in the country. Do I need to cautiously avoid spreading a bunch of diatomaceous earth, DE, around the new young trees I'm currently planting so I don't damage the roots with the DE? No, that's not anything to worry about. The diatomaceous earth is going to, though, affect anything with an exoskeleton. Anything that has a shell, an outer shell, will be killed by the diatomaceous earth. Chiggers, they are a problem, though, but what you want to do is go out there and install some beneficial nematodes. We didn't have many chiggers when fire ants were a big problem. I tell you that, they love to eat chiggers. But you can also repel them. Like if you're, going to have a party or something out in the lawn, you can, there's cedar side, just repel them by the scent of that. I would say sulfur, but that's tricky to apply. You don't want to inhale sulfur, but they don't like sulfur, but it stinks. You know what I'm saying? It's just not the, wouldn't be my ideal solution. Let's see. Here's another text. Oh, cute. Woohoo, first yellow bell blooms of the season. Yes, I've noticed that too in my own yard, in the neighborhood. Yay, yellow bells. That's why I was, and everybody needs them in your landscape. If you got sun in your yard, you need a yellow bells. And they're so pretty when you put them for me, I like blue flowers with yellow flowers. So you could do yellow bells with blue salvias, like the indigo spires or the black and blue sage, one of my favorites. Just all kind of blue flowers. Plumbagos would be pretty with them. Okay. Here's another text with a photo. Can you please let me know what this black stuff is on Meyer lemon and how to treat it? Thank you so much, Brittany. Brittany, it looks like sooty mold. And you can really do a lot with just spraying it with water. But you can also, if you can, clean the leaves off with a little alcohol on a cotton swab. You can spray it with neem oil. That will help a lot as well. So that's what it looks like to me. But, and it's, again, a lot of it's just the weather. It's a little leaf fungus kind of thing. Okay, let's go to Northwest Austin. Annette, it's your turn. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Good. I have this patch of bluebonnets in my backyard. And I've tried a bunch of things to grow in there when the bluebonnets are, not blooming. And nothing, well, we'll see what comes back. I don't know, since the drought. But I thought maybe I could go to Wild Seeds in Fredericksburg and buy a bunch of packs of wildflower seeds.
Yeah.
And just throw them in there and see what comes up in a couple years?
Well, they'll come up sooner than that. A lot of wildflowers germinate this time of year. Now, some are already up, like Gallardias and Coreopsis, but there's mm-hmm. still more things to come. Mm-hmm. The only thing that I wouldn't plant right now would be bluebonnets, phlox, mm-hmm. or Indian paintbrush. Those need to be fall planted. But you could do Mexican hat, course, you know, that's an aggressive little booger, but you could certainly do that. You could do coreopsis because it'll be blooming from now till, you know, Christmas probably. So, yeah, I would. And they'll give you the best advice, too, on what would germinate now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
That's what I'd do.
Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks for calling KOBJ today. All right. We don't have that long until the news, so I don't want to start much else. But if you would like to join the show, you can, of course, call 512-836-0590. That's the call or text number. And you can also use that toll-free line if you need to, which is 877-590-5525. So again, 512-836-0590 is the call or text number. If you have any comments or questions, go ahead and call in, get in line, and we'd be happy to have you on the show. So we'll be back after the news.
Welcome to the Austin Gardner with Cheryl McLaughlin on News Radio KLBJ, 590 AM and 99.7 FM.
Okay, we are back. 512-836-0590 is the caller text number. And we're going to go to the phone lines and head to Port A. I wish. Hey, Sam.
Hi.
Hi. You really in Port Aransas?
I'm going to say what?
Are you in Port A?
Yes, I am. I'm here right now. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Every day at the beach is a good day.
I bet. So what's going on down there?
Well, I've got St. Augustine. There's a lot of St. Augustine in this area. And I have an area that the irrigation broke and didn't get watered during the drought last summer. And it died. And when St. Augustine dies, it dies dead. It doesn't like to come back.
Yeah.
And there is some, and it's struggling trying to get back. And I'm just wondering if it would be helpful to aerate that area. Weeds are trying to get in there, and I'm trying to keep the weeds pulled up as much as I can. It's kind of hard to stay ahead of it. And I'm wondering if aerating it would be helpful, if weed and feed would help, or just fertilizing. How could I help to help the lawn come back?
Well, not weed and feed. That's a product that I don't recommend. It's harmful, actually, to the soil, and it is a pre-emergent. In other words, it only keeps seeds from germinating, and it's not
okay.
A good quality fertilizer. What you want to look for fertilizing is a time-release organic fertilizer. But here, I'm not looking at your yard, but is there green coming back throughout the area in little places or not?
No, there's some. It didn't all die, and it's trying to come back.
Mm-hmm.
I had this problem last summer during the drought, mm-hmm. and usually in the spring the lawn, you know, does better.
Yeah,
and it's struggling trying to get back, and I can see runners coming out all over the place.
Well, then I would absolutely do the aerating and top dressing. And when I say top dressing, in the trade we call it that because it's a mixture 50% compost and 50% mineral sand. And when you get a plug aerator, rent a plug aerator, aerate it, you know, it'll pull that plug of dirt and set it on the side. And then you can go back in with a very thin layer, and I'm talking like even just a quarter inch, over the area. And then that way, that compost and those mineral sands filter down in those holes, and it does a world of good for drainage and spiffing up the yard. It's just amazing.
Okay.
So, yeah, I would recommend that.
When you say aerate it, I was thinking of one of those things you can rent with that's like on a drum that you push over the yard with a bunch of those little tubes that stick out that pull plugs of their soil out. Is that what you're talking about?
Yep.
Okay. So you do that, and then you rake off the soil down here is real sandy, so it should aerate it well, I think.
Oh, well, that's true. You may not even need to aerate. Actually, maybe all you need to do is top dress with that compost. Because you got sand out the wazoo. I was forgetting where I was talking to you from.
Yeah, it's real sandy. I mean, you can dig it with your hands.
Yeah, yeah. Compacted soils like we get up here because we got a lot more clay. That's when the aeration is most effective. What you need is nutrition. Have you fertilized it this year?
No.
Okay. I would try to find me some time-release organic fertilizer, the first number being the largest. So it would be something along the lines of an 8-2-4.
Okay.
And it's made by a lot of different people. If you can find anything made by Medina is good. They don't pay me to tell you this. But there's a lot of good quality time-release organic fertilizers. That'd probably do more than anything for that yard.
Yeah, that would be certainly easier. Top dressing, it's a pretty large area. I'm saying...
Yeah, that's a lot of work.
800 square feet, that's a lot of top dressing.
Yeah, I hear you. I'd just go straight for that bag fertilizer. You can just sling it around with a coffee can.
Oh, good. And that's dry fertilizer that I'd sprinkle out or spread out.
It's like pelletized.
It. And as far as weeds, the weeds are trying to come up. And, of course, in the spring that... weeds are bad anyway. Given the lawn nutrition, will that kind of help the grass to choke the weeds out?
Or? Yeah, if you can get it coming back enough. You know, I'm not looking at it. So I don't know how much we're, you know, sort of dead areas we're talking about. But, you know, I mean, your only other option would be to resod. And,
yeah, I've thought about that. Yeah. I'm thinking about that. I think that it looks to me like there's about 50% of it is struggling to come back.
Well, you can probably get it to come back if you got 50%. I'd give that a shot. I'd fertilize it, and when the weeds come up, just weed eat them, you know, keep them from going to seed. I don't know what weeds you have, but that'd be my best, the easiest thing to start out with.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think as you know, it always the lawn always gets pretty lush in the spring when we get a lot of this rain. I'm thinking that if I could just get it going with some, I was hoping that you would say fertilizing. That I think it will with watering and rain, it'll help this stuff come back.
Yeah,
St. Augustine does well when it starts coming back, but once it if you can't get it to go, then it languishes there.
Yeah.
So thanks a lot.
Yes, of course. Thanks for calling, and I wish you luck.
All right. Thank you.
All right, sir. Bye-bye. Okay. The guy that sent me the diatomaceous earth says, I love your show. Thank you for reading and addressing my questions on air. Your show is awesome. And I just want to thank you for that. That's very sweet. Okay. 512-836-0590 is the call or text number. And here's another text that says, this year is the first year my bluebonnets grew in the front yard. The thistles are thick in the bluebonnet patch. How long should I wait to mow? Thank you. Okay, so you got to let the bluebonnets go to seed, right? You got to let the seed ripen. And keep your eye on them because they'll turn brown, those seed pods. They'll start to twist because when they use a sort of a torque action to twist and spit the seed out. So when they get close, when you see them just starting to twist, you can pull the bluebonnets up, the whole plant and everything, and put them in paper bags, you know, like bags you get at the grocery store or something. Pull them up, put them in there, and they'll pop in those bags. And then, of course, you can just shake out the seeds and, you know, compost the plants itself, and then you can mow the other stuff down. You just want to make sure that you leave the seeds, leave the bluebonnets up long enough for those seeds to start turning. Oh, let's see here. Good morning. What do you suggest for flea infestation both inside and out? Outside, again, the beneficial nematodes would be the way to go with that. They will eat the larva of the fleas. As far as what would kill the fleas, I think maybe the diatomaceous earth might be a safe thing to do, but you got to be careful when you're putting that stuff out. You have to wear a mask and all that. You don't want to inhale it. But yeah, fleas, you don't want to spray some broad spectrum poison out there. As far as fleas on the inside of the house, I would get some help with that, like from a pest control person, because there are non-toxic things that you can do, but you got to be sure that you do it in a timely manner and you get the not only the adults, but then the eggs also. All right, let's do that last break. When we come back, we'll take more of your calls on the Austin Gardener.
Welcome to the Austin Gardener with Cheryl McLaughlin on News Radio KLBJ, 590 AM and 99.7 FM.
Okay, we are back. And let's see. I guess I can give you the numbers again, 512-836-0590. That's the caller text number. And let's see here. There's pictures. Okay, Ashley says, "Hi, Cheryl. I sent a couple of pictures of my squash plant. We're about to have squash coming out our ears. I have a problem, though. I can't remember what variety I planted here. And when I give it to our neighbors and friends, I'd like to be able to tell them what it is. Google Lens didn't really do any good. Any idea? Thanks so much, Ashley and Drippin." Man, you have a green thumb, girl. That is the prettiest squash. And a lot of people have trouble growing squash around here. Judging by that last picture, that little immature fruit, it looks to me like yellow squash. But I won't be able to tell you more until it gets a little bigger. But it looks just like yellow crookneck. That's just me. By the way, people, when you do buy and plant vegetables, as Ashley wishes she had done, keep the tags. Keep them in a book, keep them in a paper bag, keep them someplace so that you do know what you've got. But that's what it looks like to me. Let's see here. I know the butterflies love the Pride of Barbados. Do they love Esperanza? Or yellow bells, which is the same thing also. Yeah, I think so. Hummingbirds like them. You know, they have that tubular kind of shaped flower. That's always a thing for hummingbirds. I think butterflies probably like them too. They like almost anything with nectar. Okay, let's see here. I use a lot of your recommendations to appropriately adjust it for my half acre in Missouri. Well, that's very cool. You know, it's really interesting that we get these calls like from farther away than you would guess, because of course we stream live on News Radio 590 KLBJ. So people can listen to the show. And if you also want to, you can go to the webpage, News Radio 590, and hit the, what is it, the SoundCloud thing to get the podcast of this show. So, but anyway, it's really interesting. Papa Jobby sent me a pretty picture of a flower. Oh, that's so pretty. It looks like a little thistle or something like that. Okay, we still have some time left in the show. If you guys want to join, 512-836-0590. Again, we have more rain expected through this week, so I would, honestly, I'd stay off the flower beds. Just stay off the wet soil. Let it dry out a little bit before you get back out there and start doing stuff, because we don't want to compact, the soil too much. Let's see. I just want to go back to that flea answer for a minute. I was looking in my book, and it says fleas can live for many months without food. They generally invade a house on a pet or on people. While not destructive to plants, they are a nuisance for pets and their owners. Control with diatomaceous earth and citrus sprayed around pets' favorite resting spots. Plant rue, wormwood, and pennyroyal mint. Spray with Gardenville fire ant control and use beneficial nematodes outdoors. Dust pet sleeping quarters with natural diatomaceous earth and bathe animals in citrus-based shampoos. Oh, okay. So let's go to Jeffrey. He may have an answer for us also. Hey, Jeffrey, how's it going?
It's going, young lady. The oak leaves are blooming great, and but you were talking about the flea issue. We would use diatomaceous earth on the mats at our entries.
Yeah.
And when we had pets, because all of ours have now passed on, we would actually do just a light dusting. Now, it will dry their skin out, mm-hmm. but you just need to be aware of it. Just put a light dusting of the diatomaceous on them. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't hurt them. But we would actually put diatomaceous on our carpet and leave it on for a little bit, then come back with a vacuum and suck it up.
Yeah, yep.
Be advised, sucking it up in the vacuum cleaner, you could end up with some issues depending upon what type of you're using, because I'd have to go in and clean out the motor and stuff around the vacuum, because it would get in there and not. So there's that's you just
oh,
have to
yeah.
be aware
I thought
of what
of
you're
that.
Dealing with.
So. Yeah. Good point. And it also says you can dust their beds and stuff with it, but
right.
So the Gardenville product, Antifuego, is something I've recommended for a long time. Again, they don't pay me to say this, but you can spray that. It's basically got good stuff in it for the soil, but it's also got a citrus. Like, it was really formulated to kill fire ants, but it'll kill fleas, too. So might be worth spraying with
we
that.
We used to use the nematodes, but with it everything being so dry and not having a sprinkler system, I mean, I used to use the nematodes, you know, every couple of years, but these last couple seasons, since it's been so
dry. Yeah, this will be a good year for them, though. I'd be putting them out pretty quick if it was me.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
That's what we use. So
Okay. I appreciate
thank
it. Thank you, Jeff. Bye-bye. All right, let's go to Northeast Austin. Roger, how's it going?
Good morning, Cheryl. I was wondering about planting dill and other plants along that for butterfly larvae. Is it best to plant it in pots or in the soil itself, or does it matter?
It doesn't matter. It's just, you know, if you put it in pots, they're going to dry out faster, and you're going to have to be more vigilant about keeping them watered. But if you can stick them in the yard, that'd be good.
Now, they haven't dried out in a few days now, so.
Yeah. True.
So they're pretty wet today. Had a pretty good rain out here last night. But I got some stuff planted for them, and I'm not too good at building the habitat, but I'm slowly but surely working at it.
Well, you know what? They'll do their own houses if you put out food and larval plants and nectar plants, and they'll figure out.
Nectar plants.
You do or don't?
Oh, I do. I probably got 40 plants out, lantanas and turtle cap and other odds and ends out here for them.
Oh, man, that sounds good. You're going to have a great... They're going to love you.
Oh, they do. They visit my little God's little acre over here quite a bit. Anyway, Cheryl, my dog's after something.
Okay.
But thank you for taking my call.
Bye. Okay. John in North Austin, how are you?
It's the best day of my life.
Good. What's up?
I just planted coral belts for the first time and a hosta. And I'm wondering how that's... You know, what I might expect in a pretty shady place, very shady place.
Well, I've never had luck with either of those. Both of them are more of an acid-loving plant, and I love them. I love both of them. I would just love to have hostas. I just don't feel like you're, I mean, you, surely there are people in this town that have successfully grown hostas. I just work more with what likes our kind of soils, you know, and the, the alkalinity, and hostas are like, they would rather be in Atlanta, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, I didn't realize they were acid plants.
Yeah, they like it a little more acid. So you can do that. I mean, you can water in a little vinegar, just plain old white vinegar. You can put a little bit of vinegar in the water and soak them with that every once in a while. That can help neutralize the pH.
Really?
Yeah,
huh.
You can save rainwater, water them with rainwater. But you got to remember, if you're watering with our water, it's very alkaline.
Yeah.
So it's a... You know, it's up to you. I use the holly fern as kind of a replacement. Another fun thing that's got big variegated leaves would be variegated ginger.
Yep, I got that.
Got ginger. Well, good luck. I just giving you my 2 cents.
Okay, but the ginger, ginger is going to die back and probably not come back, right?
No, it'll come back. It just does.
Oh, really?
It goes dormant for winter, but... Unless it's, you know, snowpocalypse or something. But I've used it for years in the shade. I just love it.
Well, you know, we can look forward to our next snowcopalypse.
Yeah.
Snowpocalypse.
Snowpocalypse.
It seems like they're coming regular now.
Yeah, they are. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your call. All right. Bye-bye.
All right.
Okay, one more text. What about 7-Dust for fleas, Mark? Very, very dangerous chemical. 7-Dust is, it's overkill. It'll kill anything, and including you if you inhale it too much. So, no, we used to use 7-Dust, but we've learned now that it's just really too much. And so, but, you know, that's me. I do organic stuff. I don't like the chemicals. I've become very sensitized to them over the years of exposure. I don't think anybody needs to be inhaling that. But hey, listen, y'all have fun this week. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see y'all next Sunday.